Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Good day in Chicago. Nice, warm weather.
Yeah, we're good out here, too.
Yeah, for a change, we can both say that the weather was nice on both ends.
It was cloudy most of the day, but windy and about the high 50s, low 60s. Nice ride coming home, though. That cool weather,
oh,
my bike.
I bet.
And that cool weather, I can ride my bike like I stole it.
That's understandable. It was very windy here, but nice and warm. Sun was out all day. It was great to be out for a little bit until I almost I had to get in because it gets too windy.
Yeah. So what else is going on over on that side of town? Nothing really?
Well, let's see. They're still doing the G8 meeting here in May for the 3 days. Protesters are already here. They're not in the full capacity that they will be, but they are coming. And now they're trying to have some of the demonstrators go to Camp David, so they're not all here because Chicago isn't prepared for what's going to happen. And they had actually stated this on TV today. Keep as many of the demonstrators out of Chicago, keep them at Camp David. They can, say, do, you know, peacefully there. But unfortunately, the ones that are already here, and I'm sure the ones that will be following suit, are not leaving. They had already stated they are not leaving. They will be here. They will remain. So it's going to be something to see, you know, come May, how this is going to go.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because it kind of goes along with tonight's topic about Occupy.
Right.
And the First Amendment. And let's see. What it said, well, let me see this real quick. Well, while I do that, here, let me do this real quick while I do that. I'm going to play this, let's see, yeah, here we go. Give me a couple.
It's been a long time, we shouldn't have left you. You left you without a dope beat, step two.
We had this party in Jersey. I did say New Jersey.
Let's see. I lost it. All right. I
did post that in the top of the chat.
Yeah, no, if you heard the music, I played one song and we got popped with the other song, so I'm trying to use it now because we got a guest, but he's not in the chat room. Okay, here we go. This one's called Red Lights, Cops, and Tickets.
Oh, there's a lot of shit you have to put up with when you're driving. Like red lights. When did this bullshit start? I only noticed them about a month ago myself. And I'll be honest with you, I don't stop for them anymore. I did for about a week, didn't like it. Fuck them. I'm gone. I got no time to sit there jacking around listening to the news. You know my motto in traffic? Cop didn't see it, I didn't do it. I'm haven't hit anybody yet. Haven't hit anybody. I've had a few people behind me hit each other, but hey. That's not me. That's back there. Me, I'm God. And I'm getting a whole lot better mileage. Especially in town. God damn, them sidewalks come in handy, don't they? So what are they going to do if they catch me? Give me a ticket? You know, that's the big fear in some people's lives. Ain't this a bitch might get a ticket? You know how to handle a ticket by now, don't you? You got to be firm with the policeman. Be firm with that policeman. Policemen respect strength. While he's writing out the ticket, you got to flash him a whole lot of bad looks. And when he's almost finished writing, reach over and grab the ticket out of his hand. Tell him you're going to check it over for mistakes. Then when you finish reading it, crumple it up and throw it at his feet. And say, fuck you and your ticket too. Enough garbage on the floor of my car already? Without another worthless piece of paper from the state? I got 8 or 9 of them fucking things floating around in here. Hey. Don't I pay your salary? They like that when you're interested in the state budget. You're a public servant. Get me a glass of water. You pinheaded prick. You're holding me up, Jack. People are waiting for me at a party. I got a trunk full of heroin. Get the fuck out of my way, will you? Tell them it's your car. Tell them it's your car and you do what you goddamn want with it. See, I own this car. My name is on the pink slip. I do what I want, and I own the highway, too, that my taxes paid for that. They're both mine. I own the highway and I own the car. I own everything, goddammit! You'll be glad to hear that shit. That's what they like, people who know their rights. That way they don't have to read them to you on the way downtown to the maximum security penitentiary where you'll spend the rest of your life with no conjugal visits except from some big guy you don't want one from.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Hey, this is the one I found. The one. This is the one I'm gonna. This is only like a minute long, but this is it. Like, if you ever been talking and you got some asshole who wants to chime in and just fucking make your day, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had one today. I was trying to do a safety gram, and this guy kept interrupting me. So I kind of went along the ways like this, but. You have to hear it to understand it.
That's fine.
Somehow, Pope Pius I doesn't command a lot of authority. Now, would somebody just put a dick in that guy's mouth, please? Because that's what he wants. He's a cocksucker in disguise. He's got his mouth open because he wants someone to come in it. Now, do you want to keep making noise, motherfucker, and we can find you that way, or are you just a punk, coward, asshole, bullshit, loud motherfucker, and you're going to shut up now so we don't find out where the fuck you're sitting? Because if you keep it up, we'll grab your ass and throw you on the fucking street where you belong with your mother. And I'm fucking her in the asshole every night anyway, so fuck you and your sister and your wife. If you got a kid, I hope your fucking kid dies in a car fire. How do you like that, you stupid cocksucker? Shut the fuck up and get the fuck out of here. You know? See? You gotta use psychology. You gotta be a bit of a psychologist up here and know how to appeal to a person.
There you go. He's done. But yeah, I could have did that today. That would have... I'd have been looking for a new job, but... The guy got the point when I embarrassed him because I asked him what we just talked about, and he couldn't answer.
Of course, so, I know.
Sometimes those problems cure themselves.
Yes, they do.
But, to get into that, what was bugging me and what was bugging you once I sent it to you is on February 28th, and I'll put this in the chat room just so everybody knows, because it might be at the top, Nora, if you want to pop it in there again, put the link under what I just put in there.
Right. Well, like I said, I've already popped that up at the top, but I have no problem. I'll, pop it in so that way everybody can see it. I went a little bit quick only because I was trying to get everything ready. So when everybody came on, chimed in, they could click on the links and see where we were going.
Okay. What it is,
I was getting easily prepared here.
No, that's all right. Hey, when things don't work out the way we want sometimes, it's a better show. Why, I don't
right.
know, but.
Well,
anyway.
No, sometimes it has a mind of its own, but, we try to stay focused on where we need to be with it.
Yeah, I've seen all the memos about being naked and all that other crap today.
Well, I'm sorry, Commando is the only way, but, we just do what we have to do, and nobody sees, so we're okay.
That's true. I mean, Bill says he doesn't have a face for radio, or he's got a radio
right.
face. But anyway, what we were going to talk about tonight was the USA, and this has happened
yes.
on February 28th, 2012. It's outlawing Occupy. House Resolution 347 makes free speech a felony now, people. Free speech a felony. What the fuck? Where are we going? It's crazy.
Well, unfortunately, it's going in so many different directions. Nobody's actually realizing what's taking place.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Because here's the... Let's see.
Well, this is now Congress, the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America reads as follows. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So, here we're coming in regards to the links are already in that I've already posted. At 7:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, February 28th, our 112th Congress violated this covenant with the American people by voting 399-3 in favor of the H.R. 347, a bill
mm-hmm.
which breezed through the Senate with unanimous consent and now lacks only corporate fascist puppet President Barack Obama's signature to become law. The three patriots who voted Navy were Paul Bruin, RGA-10, Justin Amish, RMI-3, and Ron Paul, RTX-14. The traitors who voted yay are listed here. Now that is, I'm going to pop this one right back in just in case, because I went with one video that I think people should be aware and see. So I'm going to pop this back into the chat since I placed it up towards the top. Then this way, this link here will show exactly, what's taking place there.
In other words, the thing that tracks the votes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then here will come the second one, which is the information and to the senators and the government contacts.
Because euphemistically, all this stuff, it's titled, and it's Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act. and referred to by a corporate-controlled mainstream media as non-controversial bill. A more truthful moniker for House Resolution 347 would be the First Amendment Rights Eradication Act, as Representative Amish lamented on his Facebook page. So, yeah, that's where it's going.
Right. So, obviously, things are taking place, and, you know, nobody's able to know this, you know, or they're not paying attention. But here we are. The current law makes it legal to enter or remain in an area where certain government officials, more particularly those to Secret Service protection, will be visiting temporarily. If,
right.
And only if the person knows it's illegal to enter the restricted area, but does so anyway, H.R. 347 expands current law to make it a crime to enter or remain in an area where an official is visiting, even if the person does not know it's illegal to be in that area and has no reason to suspect it's illegal.
Right.
And to show you the extent which the public is misled and misinformed about the legislation they are voting on. Now I'm going to pop a link in because this will, you know, help as well. Read one prominent media outlet's coverage on the same bill that got passed. So here I'm just going to pop in the other link here.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be seen. So obviously, now here we come. Now we can use this as the example in regards to what's going to take place here in Chicago in May for the summit meeting. Okay, that's a prime example right there. Okay, now they're going to have things shut down, locked down, as they call it. Now,
right.
Unless if it is verified or where you can visibly see, how are people going to know?
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, you can walk into a place and you see men in suits and stuff of that nature. Okay, well, you've been downtown in Chicago. I've been downtown in Chicago. So you see plenty of people in suits, you know, formal, you know, business attire. So if Joe Schmo just by happens to, you know, oops, I'm sorry, I walked down the wrong sidewalk because nothing is stated to stay away from this area.
No.
So guess
the law just
pops them.
Yeah, and like our road in here, well, the way I read it, it only affects the buildings where the president and vice president are staying, even temporarily. Well,
right.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be whatever they decide.
Right. I mean, here, now the president will be here, and there's going to be many, you know, foreign dignitaries. So, obviously, okay, who's going to know who's who? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in regards to, you know, yeah, are brought in a good, you know, a thought here. But again, okay, nobody's going to walk around. These dignitaries are not going to walk around Chicago or be mobile in certain areas of Chicago with name tags saying who they are and where they're from.
Right.
So how are we going to know who's who? We're not.
No, we're not. You know, it's like the other day.
But good point, Art.
I'll tell you what happened to me the other day. Let me see this here real quick. Hang on, I get it. But I went to the store the other day, and hang on, I got it right here. But I had a very very interesting trip to Walmart a couple days ago. But I bought 5 6-gallon water jugs, a compass, another camping gear. As I was loading my prepping materials into the bed of my El Camino, I was approached by two well-dressed gentlemen. They stopped and asked what all the supplies were for. I told them it was none of their damn business. When they showed me their credentials, I almost shit myself. Department of Homeland Security. No shit. At fucking Walmart now. I explained that I do a lot of camping, and this is the best time of year to collect gear and supplies. It satisfied them, but as we spoke about things, I asked them where they were patrolling Walmart. Surely they had better things to do. I was advised that they were watching. They're watching Walmart, all the Sam's, and several other Kmart, Target, all them that sell merchandise and mass. So be watching. I mean, they're watching. It's no joke.
Right. I mean, and here we go back to the other role or aspect that we have been talking about on and off. Okay. You know, and here I come as a human being. Most people, they do their basic shopping every week, okay? Most of there's some of us that do it once a month. It's easier, and it's just a pow. One-stop shop, you know, stock up on, excuse me, meat and stuff, because prices fluctuate. So you want
right.
to hit a sale. You want to, you know, get your freezer set. So that way you have some time, you know, before you have to restock. Okay, at times when bottled water is on sale and I can get it for $2.49, you know, a 24-pack, okay, get several cases of it. Well, you stockpile, you're a terrorist.
Right.
And for what? Because you're putting things in your home that you use on a daily basis, it doesn't make sense.
No.
You know?
Like
so why would I be considered a terrorist? Because I don't feel like shopping every week. That's insane. I used to do that, you know, but it's more feasible to do certain items once a month.
Right.
And just pop out $200, you know, or almost $300. Boom, there you go. And then during the week, you're just, you know, if you run out of milk or cheese, eggs, whatever the case may be, your basic items, you know, that's, to me, that's how I've been. So why is that wrong now?
Yeah, exactly.
Or why is it wrong in regards to, you know, the way things are going, if you look the wrong way, that's going to be a bad day. Or how you are approached by people, or how you approach someone.
Yeah, because the same thing goes with this, you know, okay, how do you know that they're there, you know, how do you know that you're not allowed to go in? Because once they see you, they red-pack your ass and knock you to the ground and handcuff you and tell you until they find out what's going on, you're under arrest.
Right.
So basically, if you see guys in suits standing around, you know that somebody important's there. It's people,
right.
Place, things. You got to pay attention to your surroundings, you know? Because if you don't, you're going to get screwed.
Exactly.
I mean, I was out Saturday. I went downtown after about 10:30, I stopped, got off, walked down to get some coffee. No, it was actually 10 o'clock. I take that wrong because the coffee shop closed at 5 to 9 instead of 10 o'clock, or 5 to 10 instead of 10 o'clock. So I proceeded to make a left, cross the street, come up the other way and around, and I was going to the other restaurant, but they were closed too. I don't know what happened. They're open on Saturday night. But when I got back to where my bike was parked by the bar, one of the guys that I know said, hey, you know, the cops are driving around now, man. We didn't see a cop downtown all night until you got here. What the fuck, man? Are you a magnet or what? And I said, I don't know. At that point, two guys come around, and they come out of the alley, and they stop right there, and I'm like 10 feet from them.
Right.
So the guy's trying to, the one guy in the passenger seat, he shines a flashlight at my bike, so I took my jacket off, threw it over the plate. He says, hey, what are you, a smartass? I go, I don't know what you're doing. He goes, you know exactly what I'm doing. I said, no, I don't know what you're doing. I said, why are you taking, why are you, all right, why you want to take my plate number? He The guy next to you knows who I am. Oh, well, we want to check, see if you got any wants or warrants. Well, I don't have any of that shit. And if I did, I wouldn't come down here if I did have them.
Right.
Well, what are you doing here? I'm talking to my friends. Well, how long are you going to be? None of your fucking business. So back and forth for 5 minutes. Then they left. The other guys come from around the corner. They make a left. They stop right in front of me. I'm on the curb. They're like 15 feet away. And they call these two girls that were smoking cigarettes outside the bar over to the car. 25 minutes they sat there talking to these two girls. People pull up behind them. They turn the lights on. They tell them go around.
Right.
So I took a picture. And they wanted to give me shit for taking their picture.
Oh, and that's why I went and posted it's a video inside the chat, though, because that's very interesting, as you mentioned that, because it will state what you can do, what your rights are, and taking photos and taking videos, which, of course, we get told, you know, it's against the law, you can't do this. No, this is your right. This is
exactly
your right.
Exactly. And the bad part is, you know, they tried to say, well, no, we were just asking them a couple of questions. I said, bullshit. They were, because I sent it to one of the sergeants. He called and asked what I was doing, and I said, hey, they say they're never down there doing that, but they are. Here's proof. He told me, well, you can't film them like that. I said, I'm looking at the picture right now, and I don't see anybody's faces. All I see is the number of the car. So
right.
I think that's the way I took it, so they can't bitch that I took their picture. But when they're in uniform like that, not in public, they're fair game.
And unfortunately, you know, they'll still exercise their right, you know, to confiscate, arrest you for taping, filming, recording, even though that is your right.
Yeah, exactly. But if like I said, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice. I don't care who you are.
And this is very true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but unfortunately, with this HR 347, you know, it's just going to show where things are going that nobody wants to pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know,
because
and obviously aimed for the Occupy movement. The modifications to the U.S. Code Title 18, Section 1752 will seriously diminish the right of American citizens to petition their government for a redress of grievances by outlawing protests where key government officials or the VIPs may be nearby. Federal law enforcement agents will be empowered to bring these charges against Americans engaged in political protests anywhere in the country, and violators will face criminal penalties that include imprisonment for up to 10 years. Welcome to the Fourth Right America. No more left, no more right. Time to unite, stand and fight. So, and here we go. And this is, you know, what people are not understanding what everything is coming down to. So, for how long, Bill has stated, you have stated, wake up, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, people still are not waking up and paying attention.
No. You know,
the best
like,
that we can do as you, Bill, and I can bring to the public.
Well, you know, Art says if you're wrong, you go to jail. If DeLeo is wrong, he gets a promotion and paid time off. True. Very true, Art.
Yeah. you know. But unfortunately, you know, like I said, and this is the best focus right here, to bring people, draw people to the show here so they know, they can understand, they can hear, they can, you know, look at the links, they can see for themselves. These are actual laws. It's not that, no one here is making them up.
No.
You know, so it enlightens them to wake up, to learn, to have that knowledge coming in, you know, this is what's taking place. We have to pay attention because it's already done, and most of us didn't see it coming.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, hey, Rial, what do you think
hey,
about
hey.
This?
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
Good.
Fantastic.
What do you think
Fantastic.
About this?
Yourself? Yeah, good.
Not bad, yeah. Puffing, typing, and running around all crazy here.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, sounds like it. How you doing, Nora?
Not too bad. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Actually,
days?
Very sore. I'm gonna discuss a little situation that happened to me on Friday. I got a brand new 2012 Mustang Boss. Okay.
That was your first mistake.
Hey.
That was your first mistake.
No, it's a fucking great car. But anyways, I'm riding in my car. And the cops know my fucking face, right? And they know I associate with the good people, you know what I'm saying. And anyways, I get pulled over by the RCMP. And another car shows up, two more cops. Another car shows up, two more cops. They pull me over, they start asking me questions. I'm not saying fucking shit. Get out of the car. I said, what for? We need to speak to you. I says, talk to me through the window. He says, no, I think you better get the fuck out of the car. One opens up the passenger door. The other one opens up the fucking driver's door. The guy in the passenger side comes right into my car, gives me a shove. The cop grabs me by the neck, pulls me out of the fucking car, throws me on the ground, handcuffs me. One cop puts his fucking boot in my neck.
Wow.
Yeah, we want answers. What the fuck are you talking about? We want answers, and you know what the hell we're talking about. You know what we're saying. I went, no, I think your fucking head is fucking popping fucking blood vessels, man. So he goes, no. There was a fucking violent crime in Calgary, and we were told that you were there. I says, you're fucking dreaming, man. I says, when did this take place? He says, 2 days ago. I says, really? I says, I got fucking 200 witnesses. I says, you're fucking head sucking air. Fucking guy walks up to me with a boot in my neck. One cop walks up to me, fucking sucker punches me right in the fucking eye. Oh, now I fucking lost it. I'm cursing, I'm calling them pigs and fucking lowlifes and the whole fucking shebang. Now they get a little bit more violent. Fucking throw me in the cop car, wheel me over to the cop shop. A little interrogation. Total silence on my part, of course. I know the fucking routine. You ain't getting shit out of me, man. Well, that pissed him off. Backhand. Smack! Across the face. Now I'm fucking pissed off.
And nobody had a video camera, huh?
Oh, well, yeah. They're recording me. They're recording me. They want me to fucking hit one of them. Because they took the cuffs. They actually took the cuffs off. Well, we know you're a fucking scrapper. You're a kickboxer. They had all my information. Fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, I got a little fucking kickboxing studio. That's not hard to find. So they did a little research, probably fucking been fucking scoping me for a month. And then they're going, no, we want information on this crime. I says, I was not there. So I don't give a shit what the hell you're fucking telling me. Okay? And then they're going, well, we got it from a really reliable source. And I guess they were talking about the Canadian version of the FBI. I'm going, I don't give a fuck what you're fucking saying. I says, you're blown air. I says, fuck you. I says, give me my fucking attorney. Oh, you need an attorney? I says, not really, but I, you know, after being smacked around a little bit, maybe I'll be fucking pressing charges on you. Another smack. Like, my whole right-hand side of the face is fucking blue. My left-hand side has got a big welt on my eye. I got a bump on my head. And then, so now, they detain me for 48 hours.
Wow.
For fuck all. Oh, we can keep you here for 72 hours.
Yeah.
I said, fucking keep me here for 72 hours. I said, you ain't getting shit out of me because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And anyways, I says, what the fuck is this crime? I want to know what this crime is. You know, I'm going to make some files when I get home so I can press charges on you. You want to press charges on me?
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I said, the whole fucking lot of you. Now they're getting really pissed off. I'm just waiting for the baton to come out and fucking break my jaw, right? So they calmed down a little bit. All of a sudden, a buddy of mine saw this. So he gets five of my fucking bros. They all show up at the cop shop. A major little brouhaha fucking took place. Now the guns are drawn. One is drawn on me in my cell. There's four cops outside. About five or six of my brothers outside. I didn't know exactly what the number was. So now the paddy wagons show up. They arrested all of them. Oh, they must be here to get you out of here to save your ass from this violent crime we're trying to get out of you. I says, fuck off, man. Fuck you and fuck you. So anyways, one of my bros had made a call to my attorney. And he's a pretty big wig, man. Okay? And he's a little Italian guy. So anyways... He shows up, the attorney shows up, and he fucking lost it on him. Seen my face, fucking took pictures, everything. Oh, well, now they're being fucking real nice about everything. So, yeah, well, we're going to release you. I says, you goddamn fucking better release me, man. I says, you ain't got shit on me. I never fucking said nothing to you except for go fuck yourself, and I'm going to sue your ass.
Did you go to the hospital?
I went to the hospital, you damn right. I made a fucking full fucking report.
Okay.
You betcha. And my doctor, Dr. Sarah, he went, no. He says, I will fucking speak for you in court. You're a fucking good man. He says, very respectful. He says, you're a little fucking rough on the edges. But he says, I've never known you to go out and hurt anybody. Because Dr. Sarah and I, we go out for dinner and everything. He's a great guy. Okay, and he says, no. He says, I'm going to get you out of this fucking little problem of yours. And he says, you know what? He says, I don't give a fuck if the feds are listening right now. He's got three other doctors that saw this in the hospital as well. They made a report, you know, because when you go to the hospital, the one doctor on call does all this. He does the first initial report. So the other doctors showed up because they love me too. And they made a report as well, because they're on call, but he's the one that showed up first. So anyways, now I got four doctors on my side, plus the brothers that were at the fucking cop shop, and my attorney. So this is a major lawsuit, and I will fucking sue their ass. My attorney says, you know what? We're going for $2 million on this one. I went, oh, just $2 million? I said, why don't you go for $5 million? They're going to fucking plea it down a little bit. The numbers from $5 million might land on $2 million. If you go for $2 million, they're going to talk you down. I might walk away with $500,000. I says, go for the fucking gusto. Go for the big numbers. And they went, yeah, it makes sense. I says, you're fucking right, it makes sense. So with any luck and God on my side, I'm not a fucking religious man, but God on my side, if I can make a couple $1 million, brother, I'm going to be one happy guy. They're going to fucking hunt me down for it after I get paid, but the war is going to fucking start, and I don't give a fuck. With $2 million, I can buy a lot of shells, brother.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fucking total bullshit. And like Bill said, well, I don't really like to ride in Canada because those RCMPs are fucking like, you know, army sergeants. You know, and I don't know what he went through to say that, but he must have been confronted pretty harshly, you know. So I'm going to have to discuss that with Bill, and I'd really like to know what happened to him for him to say that. And I'm sure, you know, he's not saying that out of the blue, you know. But this is what is going on. I mean, you guys have a lot of fucking problems, like you're saying, your First Amendment, free speech going out the fucking door. Holy fuck, my brothers. What the fuck is going on in your country to be fucking ridiculed, taking your rights away? Like, you know, like you said, you have 2 weeks of food and water, cigarettes, whatever, flares, whatever. You're considered a fucking terrorist.
Yeah.
Fucking Costco's going to go under. People buy in bulk, man, to survive because the prices are going up.
And not just that, it's because of the economy as well.
Exactly.
So when you have that extra money, and that's what I do, when you get that extra money and you hit that one-time sale, because in 2 weeks that sale isn't going to be there, you know, the prices will be higher.
Exactly.
It's feasible to do it that way. You're not a terrorist. You're just... You learn from being a kid, watching parents, watching aunt and uncles, whatever the case may be, who bought in bulk because they did the same thing. Even though it's a different era, people still did it.
People need to fucking eat. What if I was younger, like when I was a single father when my wife passed away after giving birth to my daughter? You know, if that happened right now, being a single man, trying to fucking survive, and I go and buy bulk, okay? I'm not in the States, but what? This is going to land in Canada eventually. But, I mean, what if I was living in the States, and I was a single father, and I wanted them to have the best food, clothes, everything else? I'm a fucking terrorist? Fuck you. I'm a man that's fucking feeding two children, myself, and maybe a possible new girlfriend down the road, you know? Like, this is fucking crazy. And what this is going on is they're scared of an uprising. That's exactly what it is. And it's going to happen. People are getting pissed off, and they're going to start fucking... No, they're going to start an uprising. It has to. That's the only fucking way that these laws are going to get broken, or we're going to get all fucking thrown in jail.
It's not going to get broken at this point. That's the sad thing.
True enough, it's getting worse.
Okay. I mean, that's my thoughts, because with this new bill, okay, what's going to be taking place here in May, you know, it's going to be shown.
Yeah. See, I'm not familiar with all the bills that are being passed because I'm a Canadian, and I really don't study that. But I got to sharpen my intelligence level. I got to start studying your laws and your rights and everything else. I know the Fifth and the Second and the Third Amendment, but I'm kind of
naive. We don't have those anymore.
No, you guys got them taken away.
You know, we don't have a freedom of speech. We don't have a freedom to quiet protest. But even if there was a quiet protest anywhere, it's going to show as an act of, you know, against a bill that was already passed, which is the 347. And so if you are logged on, you can see the chat. You will see all the links. And when you go to those links, it will amaze you.
Yeah.
So when I talk with friends outside of the U.S. and people are, you know, because a dream is always your country is so much better than ours. You don't understand. No, because the news is there.
Yeah. See, I'm not on my computer when I talk to you guys. I'm on my phone. And if you guys could send me these links on my computer, then I can study them, you know, and get to know exactly what you guys are going through. Like,
hey, Real, I don't have to send you anything. If you read the blog that gets posted on daily,
okay.
Today it was 58,354. So if I must be doing something right if that many people are checking in every day.
Well, you're definitely doing the right thing, because I mean, if you're getting that kind of response, it's a beautiful thing. Like I'm saying, people are getting really pissed off, and it's going to build up and build up. You're going to have more people, and more people are going to join in. And like I said, this is the start of a revolution.
This, exactly. I mean, I got, here, let me see where I got this right here. Let's see. Yeah, right here. This is an email I got today. It says, "Hi, Bill and Phil. I'm Hazel with the CriminalJusticeDegreesGuide.com. I'm writing to say how much I enjoyed your blog. You've got a ton of great content on there, and you're building a great community. She's also writing because the passions overlap, but she published an article, 20 Cases Solved by Using Facebook, I think falls right in line with you and your listeners' interest. So I'll put that link up for you guys.
But it, what is, that's a beautiful thing, Bob. Or Bill. Oh,
yeah.
Right. Bill, sorry.
Okay, what show are you supposed to be at? If
you
start calling me Bob.
Are you getting wise with me, Nora?
If you start calling me Bob, there's a problem.
No, it must be the concussion I received, man. I got a big fucking boo-boo on my head.
That's okay, but just remember where you're at.
Yeah, I'm in my living room, man. I forgot my fucking name.
Today it's Phil and Nora. Thursday it'll be Phil, Bill, and Nora. Ooh,
yeah,
and that's
so hard. Come on, I tripped over my fucking tongue. Give me a break, yeah?
I did give you a break.
I know you did. You could have been a lot harsher.
Yeah, you know, I could have been, you know, I could have sat there and said, you know, maybe, you know, Phil has man boobs or something. And, you know,
well, Nora, you were very quiet when you first started this show. You know, you got to start getting loud
today.
And put me, you got to start getting loud and put me in my fucking place, eh?
Well, that's okay. But look at me today. I'm more vocal, and it's not, you know, commando day, so give it the program.
Yeah, every time I hear commando, I always think of my book that I'm writing, eh? Yeah. Well, I told you the title, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
no,
our commando
actually,
has a special
actually,
meaning
I tossed
here
that
the
title
show.
Around, and everybody is for it. They went, this is going to fucking sell. Commando.
Right.
The life of a fucking child. And that's
what
it's called.
You have to understand, you know, Bill brought Commando to a whole different level here. So, you know, on some shows, we have to be Commando, you know.
Well,
and Art is expecting Commando. So,
I lived very harshly in Detroit, Michigan. I was just a fucking kid. Didn't speak English. My parents moved to Windsor, Ontario. And then we went to Detroit in the middle of the worst racial war you could possibly think of after Martin Luther King. It was black against white. So you got this skinny little fucking 14-year-old, 12 years old, and got thrown into the mix with that. So you can imagine my harsh upbringing. Packing a fucking gun, a knife, and a fucking pipe wherever I went. Okay, and I mentioned that to you guys. I did my time. I don't mind saying that on the radio. I killed, I don't want to say the N-word, because if there's black people listening, I don't want to offend them. African-American shot me in the ankle, blew my ankle off after Ted Nugent's Led Zeppelin concert, Physical Graffiti. Wanted my wallet, blew my ankle off. This guy didn't realize I had a fucking 9mm in the back of my fucking coat. So he blows me away, wants my wallet, smacks me around a little bit. I don't want to fucking pull it out yet. So he stepped back about 4 feet. I pulled it out. I wanted to shoot him in the face. I'm not going to lie to you. He turned around. I shot him in the back and killed him. So I did my 6 years for manslaughter. I was 15. I was 2 months shy of my 16th birthday, and I went in as an adult. I get there, fucking black motherfuckers all over the place. They sent me in my cell. Not even 5 cells later, the Lobos from Windsor, Ontario, I knew about 5 members, they were there. the chosen few in Pewse, Ontario. Five members, six members were there. Next thing you know, an hour and a half later, I get a shank right in the back. Well, the fucking, the brawl broke right out. Infirmary I go. After that, it was horse, a.k.a. horse, you are fucking fully protected. Do not worry about shit. Because I used to babysit for the chosen few. Bear was the president at the time, and I babysat two of his children. So he had full respect for me, and so I was well taken care of. They're going, you'll never get fucked up the ass. I said, I'll bite their fucking dicks off, whatever. Nobody's going to fuck me up the ass.
I'm sorry.
Fuck that
analogy.
Shit. Well, I didn't have a shank to cut it off, but I would have ripped that motherfucker right off. But,
I'm sorry.
I had a very harsh upbringing, and you know, I don't regret what I've done. You know, I've taken down quite a few fucking people, not necessarily kill them all, but hospitalized quite a bit of them, and that's why I survived. A white boy gets pissed off. I don't give a shit how old he is. If he's got the mentality, the strength, the heart, which I did, and that's what is the man in me today. And I'm fucking very proud of who I am because I would die for my friends if I had to. I'll die for my children in seconds. You know, and I would back any of my fucking brothers. Any patch wearer. Well, not any, just the great club.
Certain.
Yes, the ultimate club. The one that I support with brothers and sisters of 81 supporters. That is my site that I'm on. And I'll tell you, these guys adore you, Phil. They love your show. They're listening in right now. And they have full respect for what you do. Full respect for the show, full respect to who you are, and they know you and I are friends. You know, we might not have met face to face, but I talk highly about you. They know that, and they love you, man. They love you.
Well, thanks.
No, thank you,
brother.
Everybody
loves Phil. He's a good-looking guy. Everybody loves him.
Yeah. no thanks needed, Phil. No thanks needed, man. You got full respect from me and full respect from them. You know, I don't think there's one patch wearer in there, you know, but they know I'm the highest ranking guy in there, and they know I'm associated. And so they got good backbone. They know I've got fucking fantastic backbone. So we're very tight. And like I said, they love your show. They love who you are because I spoke highly about you. And so... kudos to you, my brother.
Cool, thanks.
He's a good man.
Hey?
Yeah,
okay, he's a good man.
Yes, he is a good man. And I'll tell you, if I was in California, I'd be on his back. I would fucking protect him with my life.
Appreciate that.
Hey, you got it, brother. Oh, another thing I was going to bring up to you. I've got a gift for you, my bro. It's called Three Times Carlin. An Orgy of George. 980 pages exactly. And
wow.
I want to send it to you. I'll autograph it. I'll send it to you. We know the routine, you know, with the feds listening in and everything. I don't want your fucking address. Find me a good address that I can send it to, you know, because I'll tell you, the feds took over my fucking computer. I was sending some shit to my friends. Okay, and I know how to speak on a computer. I know how to speak on the phone. So I didn't divulge anything, but they started deleting. I hadn't even pressed send. Wiped right off the screen. Go for another.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, but I got something else about that.
Talk to me.
Okay. Let's see. Now, this came out. I think I sent this to you, Nora, but this came out today. And late yesterday, actually. It says the FBI won't cut off your internet for another 4 months.
kid's going to last longer than that, bro.
Listen, wait. Let me finish the story first. Judge grant extension to keep infected servers running until machines are cleaned up. All those computer users whose internet access was about to be cut off by the FBI can breathe a little bit easier. Late yesterday, federal judge Denise Cole, I'll put that link up for everybody. If you just click on this one, I'm going to put up in the chat room. Go right to it.
But what I'm saying is we don't have FBI out here like you guys have. You know,
don't always know they're there.
No, but the thing is what I think happened is our version of the FBI got a hold of the version in the States. Okay, this happened. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, Phil. This happened probably because I'm on the fucking show, and I love it. And I told my support group that by association, and I love it. So what I think happened is these goofs in Canada probably got a hold of the States saying, well, he's on this certain fucking talk show. And with no search warrant kind of thing, whatever. And I think what they did is made a little fucking deal between each other and gave the authority for the Americans, FBI, DEA, whatever else, to tap into my fucking computer. I'm more than positive that that's what happened. Because in Canada, they would have to get a warrant.
Anywhere they got to get a warrant.
Yeah, but if they make a deal from Canada to the States, they might be able to override that, my brother.
Nah, they're trying to been overriding for the last 45 minutes. But let me do something here. I'm going to play this song, and I'll be right back.
You bet. In on us? Is that fucking beeping? I'm serious.
Thank you.
job, man. They jacked me.
Who does that tune? I know it, but I can't remember the name.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Who?
I put it in the chat room.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But, he's a good singer. He's been around a long time.
Oh, that's a fantastic tune, man. I've heard it many a times. I just couldn't remember the lead singer or the band.
Well, like I said, it's Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and it's Blue and Black.
Yes. But be right back.
You bet.
Better go.
grave to that. I could go east, I could go west. Then I saw a young hawk flying and my soul began to rise. Pretty soon, on the run.
Okay.
Yeah, beautiful, man. Bob Seger, brother.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell, give me a minute, you guys, but I just wanted to tell Stormy Montana, thank you for the box you sent with the CDs, and I'm going to give them away. Probably the next time she calls in, we'll give them away. I'll hold on to them till then. But, yeah, Bill was like a little kid when I gave him, I gave him the CD that she autographed to him. And I was like, here, she sent you a shirt, too. And I was in my garage. He was up in the driveway. He just got here. So I, like, turned around, and I was screwing with him before I get. I didn't give everything to him at once. I was teasing him a little bit. And then when I finally gave him the picture of the autographed picture, that sent him over the edge. He was really surprised and shocked that he took the time to send that and address everything to both of us. And it was really appreciated.
No doubt. I own a 1962 Rolls Royce, okay? I was a limousine driver in Calgary for years, and Eric Clapton, I picked him up and after the concert, and he's in the back. He's got his producer and a couple big briefcases. So I'm writing, and by law with the company, you're not allowed to talk to anybody. Well, hell with that, because back in Ontario, Bob Seger has got a beautiful cottage. It's called the White House. Next to him, it's Ted Nugent, sorry, lives next to him. And then four houses down is Eric Clapton. And I used to hide in the bushes when I was 11, 12 years old just to fucking take a peek at him, because we all knew when he was coming. Because his yacht would pull up. We knew what it looked like. So we sat there. We knew he'd be coming in, around June, first week of June, second week of June, and he'd stay there till about the end of August. And so here he is. I'm looking at Eric Clapton. He's sitting in a fucking hot tub with four women, having a good time. Didn't make a scene. I didn't want him to fucking call security or anything. So years later, I pick him up in Calgary, and I'm looking at him in the rearview mirror, and he's having a good time drinking champagne, and I could not resist. I turned over and I went, Miss Clapton, I says, I've been stalking you for years. He went, what? I says, I know where your cottage is on Lake St. Clair. He went, you know my cottage? I says, buddy, I used to hide in the shrubs just to fucking take a look at you, man. I says, you're my idol. So I says, do you think I can get a poster signed from you? He says, no problem. Hands me a poster. And then so I pull him over to the hotel that he was staying. Gives me a $500 tip, an autographed T-shirt that says, Ray, you are the craziest limousine driver I've ever had. Love, Eric Clapton. And I got it framed in my living room right now. Man, cool. My heart fucking skipped a beat. I was so fucking honored. So proud. So proud.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a gift, I'll tell you. And if I ever put that on eBay, I'd get a fucking fortune for it. But I would never sell it.
Yeah.
I would pass it down to my children, and then down the road, like, say, when he passes away, you imagine that thing is going to fucking quadruple 10 times, 20 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to have, not to change the subject, but I'm going to have Stormy Montana is going to call in. So we're waiting for her to do that. I'm going to play one of her songs, just to get everybody familiar with her music. But this one's called, and I think this one's appropriate for tonight's show, it's called Barstool Logic.
Barstool Logic. Nice. very nice piece of
beautiful music.
Beautiful.
Well, Kito, you're unmuted. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Not bad. Not bad.
I'm
the
so
only
glad
problem
that
is
y'all
I,
like
I've been riding my bike.
Shirts.
I'm not in the cage, so I haven't listened to the whole CD, but I listen to it when I'm sitting here working on the computer. But,
well, I sure do appreciate it. I'm glad that you like it.
Oh, that's
beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Actually, I had Bill going because I was teasing him. It was like a whole 15 minutes. I had one up on him, and he didn't like it too much until because I was teasing him. I said, "Hey, got something in the mail today. Here, this one's for you." And I went back to what I was. And I said, "Oh yeah, wait. Here's another thing. That's for you." Went back to what I was doing. I said, "Oh yeah, and here's the topper." And I handed him the picture that you autographed. I was shitting his pants. He goes, "Hey, you know, you could have gave this all to me at once." I said, "No, for once I get to tease you."
Oh, well. Well, I'm glad you liked him.
Yeah, he was so excited. I gave him a thing, though, so he wouldn't bend the picture. But he's trying to figure out where to put the picture. He put the CD in his cargo pocket. Then he took it out, put it in his jacket pocket. Then he's like, I said, "Hey, you need some saddlebags. I got some on the shelf. You can..." "Oh, no, no, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. I don't want anything to bend."
Did the shirts fit? Nothing?
Yes.
Shirts fit all right? Good. Good.
I wore mine today. Like, who's that? It's a friend of mine.
Actually the old logo. We had the shirts made up whenever we did the CD release, and I hadn't gotten the tattoo yet, and me and the tattoo artist redesigned the logo. So we have stopped running those shirts, so... I thought that I would send y'all some. Hopefully, maybe someday those will be rare or something.
Yeah. And then how's everything back there? You okay? Everything's all right?
Everything's good. We made it through all the storms. It's weird weather jumping between like 60 and 20.
Oh, I know. It's been bad there.
Yeah, it's been pretty sketchy. I mean, we didn't get all the tornadoes here and everything like that. We just mostly got a lot of wind. But... we made it through that okay, so I guess we're lucky considering how close we are to like Harrisburg and all them. So
yeah, and it's
May I jump in?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, darling. I'm a friend of Phil's. Don't know him personally, face to face, but is there any way that you may be able to send me an autograph? Poster and a CD. You know, I'll send you the money if that's the case. That's no problem. I'll leave my address and everything with Phil after the show. I don't want to do it on the show. And
okay. Then, easy way. She's on my Facebook page.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, if you have a Facebook, you can add me on there, and you can send me all your shipment information, and like I told Phil, I'm not the quickest at it, but I do try and get them out.
Exactly. Okay. So. Let me get your name again.
Stormy Montana.
Stony Montana.
Stormy.
Stormy.
Pipe down. Put the pipe down.
Stormy.
Close.
Stormy Montana.
Yes,
sir.
Will you please get the names right today?
Yeah, usually they're telling me to put the pipe down.
I know.
Oh, man.
Okay, what's the first, what is it before Montana?
S-T-O-R-M-Y.
Like the weather, and
oh,
Montana
yeah,
like the state.
That's what I said. Okay.
Okay,
perfect. I'll look you up on his friends list, and we'll take it from there.
And Montana's the last name.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. Thank you, love.
Absolutely. And just send me your information, and I'll get
you
one out as soon as I can.
You know, I've got my I'm a certified sound engineer, from Capital Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Calgary. So full fledged.
That's pretty awesome.
I started playing the drums when I was 11 years old. I sing.
That's cool.
I played a harmonica. I played the keyboards and some guitar.
Oh, I've always wanted to pick up harmonica.
Oh, the harmonica is beautiful, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I do some Led Zeppelin. Robert Plant plays a really nice harmonica, and I've got a pit bull, and I'll tell you, he sits there and howls. Oh, he's so in tune. That dog knows
like
the notes or something because he's never off beat. It's beautiful.
Sounds about like whenever I tried to start learning how to yodel. This was like years ago, but I started like trying to pick up yodeling techniques and everything like that, and my dog got it down before I did.
I'm going to do a little yodel for you. Don't be offended. Yodeling, hee-hoo, I fucked your old lady, too. I do that at the bar, and people just buy me drinks after drinks over a stupid line like that.
That was good.
I don't buy drinks, honey.
Oh,
crazy ass bikers get away with everything.
Oh, well, it's all good and fun.
You betcha, love, but you got a fantastic voice. Do you do anything else? Do you overdub anything? Do you play other instruments? You play the keyboards? What?
I play guitar. I've always kind of wanted to pick up piano. Mostly it's just me, my guitar and my voice.
Your guitar and your voice. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You do beautiful work there. Beautiful.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
sure,
no, it's very inspiring. It's very touching, actually.
Well, thank you.
Well, I know good music.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. And now that I've heard
you
yodel, I'll have to hear the harmonica.
You got room in your band for a harmonica player.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm in Canada, so, you know, if you ever come into Canada, let me know, and I'll go on stage with you.
I'm up for a road trip.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, come to Calgary, man.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe you can play the Jubilee Auditorium.
Cool. Now, what's that?
Jubilee Auditorium is some of the best Western players played there. We had our famous man that's always recorded and played on the show, Mr. George Carlin. Seen him three times. The best of the best play there. Shania Twain, I picked her up in my limousine, and I'll tell you, she's a sweetheart. She gave me a backstage pass, a party pass, and I had her in my limo, dropped her off over at the auditorium, and then next thing you know, she's bringing champagne to my table. She says, stand up. I want to see how tall you are. I'm 6'4". She's like 5'2". She looked at me. She says, you want to clean glasses with me? Oh, my God, man. My dick move. I went, yeah. I'll clean glasses with you, baby. We ended up drinking half the bottle.
Oh, no.
Oh, a limousine driver gets away with a lot of shit.
I bet.
Yeah, well, I was talking about Eric Clapton. I don't know if you were listening.
Yeah, I heard that. That's really good.
Yeah, that beautiful, man. It's fantastic. I met many a great people, man. Many a great people.
Well?
Yeah. I had the Backstreet Boys, okay? I'm sure you heard of them.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
six
okay.
Years old, jumping up and down on my bed listening.
Well, it was like the Beatles, you know, when all the girls passed out. These are all 13, 12, 14-year-old girls.
Oh, yeah.
They have a bus. There was four limousines to kind of shuffle them around because they were being mobbed. So they jumped into the black limousine. People spotted them. Oh, my Lord. Shuffle them out of there, put them in another limousine. Oh, my God. They started attacking the vehicle. You know, so now security, the police, they escorted them out. Put them in another limousine. Did the same thing. Now they shoveled them down the driveway in the parkade at Saddle Dome, threw them in my white limousine, 62 Rolls Royce, and then, so I thought, we're clear, we're in the back. Start sneaking out. Oh my God, that's it. Now they're mobbing my car. It took me 45 minutes with police escort to get out of the driveway at the Saddle Dome.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt it.
Now they're going, man, you're good. Because in Calgary with our limousine driver or our limousine company, which is Cal Limousine, we're allowed to carry handguns. Because if the Queen of England came to Calgary, which she does quite often, we would have her. We would be her entourage. And then, so next thing you know, I had to pull out a gun just to scare these fucking kids away. And I did. I didn't point it at them. I just pulled it out of my holster and holding it up towards the ceiling. Well, now the mothers are just grabbing their kids. And that's the only way we got out of there.
Screaming and yelling.
Yeah. So next thing you know, they're signing their black and white glossies for my daughter. My daughter's in grade school. Well, she was the envy of all her friends. And what I did, just to top it off, I drove my daughter to grade school in the limousine. Well, all these girls are just losing their minds. Pick up a few more people after the show to drive them home. Did you drive the Backstreet Boys? I says, yeah, I'm in my limousine. I'm handing out autographs. I'm just a fucking limousine driver. Man, I felt so good about that, you know. I felt like a superior kind of character. Oh, it was a sweet night, man.
Sounds like it.
Oh, it's
sounds
fun.
Like it. Yeah, but yeah, I'd love to come up there sometime.
Oh, it's fantastic, man. The Canadian people out here will treat you like a queen.
Well, I'll have to come up there sometime.
You betcha. You know, if you need a, I'm sure you got booking agents and everything, but if you need a little bit of help, I'll give you my phone number, the whole shebang.
Hey,
I'll
appreciate all the help I can get, man.
But I'll tell you, I want you in my limo.
Easy now.
No, it should be protected.
I have to send it with a billy club.
Smart ass. I love you, Phil.
Oh, man. But anyways, you guys, I'm not going to be able to stay on here too long. Mr. Phil already told you why. Got a big knot tonight.
Uh-huh. Yes, you do.
Well, tonight is the primaries for Tennessee, the election primaries for the Republicans and everything like that, and got to go up to Court Square and watch them tally up all the votes.
Did you vote?
Yes, sir.
All right,
My first year voting.
I know, that's what I said. I remember you were talking about that, and Bill and I told you need to do that.
Absolutely,
because anybody
I did
that's
it.
It's just like the other day, this lady was talking on TV, she's bitching about everything. And the guy said, well, do you vote? No, I've never voted. I don't like voting. Well, then what the fuck are you hollering about? You don't vote.
Exactly. If you're not going to say something whenever you actually had the chance.
That's true. So what I'll do then is I'll say goodnight. If you get a chance Thursday to call in and bust Bill's balls, I won't tell him you're going to call. And we'll razz him a little bit.
That'd be fun, yeah.
And then what I'm going to do is I'll take us out with your Sing the City Home. And then we'll be right back after that.
Okay, thank you so much for having me, and I'm so glad that you like the CDs.
Everything was perfect, dear. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
my love.
Have
a great night, Stormy.
Thank you guys so much. Love you guys.
You bet.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. This one is Sing the City Home.
Yeah.
Got cut off.
Not me.
Somebody trying to dial out, or somebody trying to dial in. But Nora, we talked about this the other day. I just posted an article in there about 8 businesses that are staffed by ex-cons, and I don't have anything right. about anybody getting a second chance.
Well, this is what I understand. Applying for work after having served time in prison can be incredibly discouraging because owners can be quick to judge ex-convicts, and they worry on being trusted. The irony is that the lack of faith of a part of the business community contributes to criminal, like bringing the ex-con back into life.
Me?
As we know it every day,
right.
Getting them back into a better part into society instead of constantly looking at their past, judging it. But in regards to, they have links in the certain jobs that are here in Chicago that are trying to help get ex-convicts back into the workforce.
Members of society. And I don't have anything against anybody doing that.
I don't either. And I don't judge somebody because they have a past. A lot of people do.
Nailed on the cross.
Right. I mean, not everybody is perfect in life. We all know this. But this isn't where we're going to be judged. We're not the judge, the maker, and the jury. And technically, we're not. But politically, we know who are.
Some of the biggest criminals we have are in Congress and senators.
Yeah. They have a bigger pocketbook than we do. They have bigger bank accounts than we do. They can sit there and live in multi-million-dollar mansions and stockpile, but they're not a terrorist. Only we are the working-class people. There are certain businesses, I apologize, that are likely to end up committing. Well, a lot of businesses think that ex-convicts are going to end up committing, more crimes or anything. So, sending them back to prison, they feel that that's what needs to be done. But there are many examples of businesses who probably employ ex-convicts. These businesses have developed a loyal customer base, managed to prosper in an uncertain economy and change the lives of the men and women hired. The federal government offers a substantial credit on income tax on wages paid to each former inmate of businesses that hire, which certainly helps with the bottom line. Here are eight businesses staffed by ex-cons. Sweet Beginnings, frustrated at the lack of job opportunities, former inmates, Brenda Palms, Barmer, director of the Chicago-based nonprofit North Lawndale Employment Network, started a for-profit Sweet Beginnings to temporarily hire and train ex-offenders. Sweet Beginnings produces honey-based skincare products. Workers raise bees and perform sales, manufacturing, and customer service-related tasks. Potentially, employees must complete NLENS jobs readiness programs before being hired and receive job placement services as their time of Sweet Beginnings, which can last anywhere from 90 days to a year, comes to an end. But then there's also in Wheaton, Illinois, you're familiar with that, as others are not, there's a Bean Coffee store where 20,000 prisoners are released every year. There's a Bean Coffee store, formerly Second Chance Coffee Company, was created, positively impact the lives of post-prison men and women and the communities in which they live. The company roasts and ships their brand of premium coffee in addition to hiring ex-offenders. They have been working closely with post-prison support organizations to prove additional counseling and other support for their employees. There's also Movers, Inc. There's Felony Franks. There's Belay Enterprises, Virgin Group, Triple Threat Apparel, Dave's Killer Bread. Those are just to name some.
Well, that's just like this guy at Felony Franks. He's got a misdemeanor wiener and a pardon Polish.
It's a paper company. The hot dog stand owned in 2009 and features menu items like the misdemeanor wiener and the pardon Polish, as you stated. Andrews encourages business owners not to unfairly judge ex-convicts. The ones that want to stay out of jail and make a better life for themselves just work harder, says Andrews. They don't want to go back to sit in prison. A lot of them don't. The sad thing is you have you're always going to have your lines. You're going to have the one side that is compelled to, they did their time, they get out, and within so long of a time frame, it's all they know. It's a life that they're used to, being told when to get up, when to pee, when to crap, when to eat, when to sleep, when to go out in the yard, you know, when to watch TV. But then you have ones that could have been offenders several times in the past, and then on their final one, that's it, that's enough. And they want to clean up. They want to, you know, go focus elsewhere and start a life.
Right.
You know, but unfortunately, too many people are quick to judge. And they don't want to take that chance. But there are certain base companies here in Chicago that will do that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they, you know, the companies will feel comfortable with them as long as they know they're putting that effort there. They're putting a foot, one foot in front of the other each day and applying and showing.
Right.
And that's what makes a difference.
Absolutely. Let me, hold on 1 second. 403-563. Did you want to talk or you just want to listen?
That's me.
No? You're on two lines?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what happened is I got an important phone call, so I have to let you go. A brother of mine needs a little escort. So,
that's fine. Have a good night. We were glad to have you at the show, and we'll see you Thursday.
Thank you, Nora.
Thursday.
Thanks, Phil. It's a fantastic show tonight, man. I love yous.
Love you. Have
luck.
A great night.
Okay, I got to go take care of my brother.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, bro.
So,
like I said, it's a hard line, you know, because people don't want to trust. People are scared. The economy is bad. You know, one state isn't better than the other. We're all going through the same thing. You know, but like I said, thank God for some of these companies out there, because this brings a light. You wouldn't believe how many people actually do come out from being locked down. They can breathe. They're not on that schedule of what they've always known, being inside. You know, if you want to know what prison is like, or being in a cell is like, you know, go in your bathroom, nail your door shut, and stay in there 24/7. Because you know there's a prison here that still operates, since you're from the area here. Stateville is housed with the worst of the worst in this state. And they are on lockdown 23 and 24.
The federal guys go to Marion, Illinois.
Right. Which, you know, that held Gotti, and, you know, and there's a whole lot more. But like I said, it's amazing. You know, if somebody can just offer that chance, that help, because it's not easy, especially if you carry an X, you know, whatever your X contains or pertains to, if it's, you know, driving on a suspended revoked, or if you have a violent history. People are quick to judge. They don't want to take that chance. So these certain companies, I give them kudos.
It's
you know,
like when
because
you get,
they...
It's just like when
I'm
you
sorry.
Get pulled over.
Yeah.
They already know what they're up against before they get out of the car.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, so like I said, you're profiled no matter what, whether if you're good, bad, or indifferent, you're profiled.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to be profiled. We're not the bad ones.
No.
And I don't mean... And this is just in general America. We are not the bad ones, but we get profiled.
I got news for you.
You know what? I'm not throwing a fit about it. If that's what it is, then that's what it is. I'm not out there causing problems. I'm not out there doing anything wrong. I've never broken the law, you know, and I'm not embarrassed to say that, you know. I look at, you know, the law on two different sides, which a lot of people find it hard, depending upon their past. You know, I can look at it sometimes being in a good way. It depends. There's a fine line there, you know, on how I could look at the law in one way and agree for a minute. But then reality slaps in and, oh, no, what the heck was I thinking? You know, like I said, you know, I posted that video in regards to wake up. This is the new America. Check it out. You're going to see exactly. You know, I was appalled when I saw that. You know, and this is it. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
It's not about terrorism anymore from anybody from the Middle East. In regards to, you know, the crazy whack jobs that have it out against the U.S. Why? Because Americans were put on their soil.
Yeah.
They're radicals, you know. They want to, you know, tear each other apart. Let them tear each other apart. Don't involve us. Don't involve our men and women.
No.
You know, because they're the ones that are at stake.
Yeah.
You know, the president sat there today on TV talking about the summit. And, you know, well, you don't understand how many letters I've written or... You know, who I've had to correspond with because somebody was, you know, killed in action or whatever. Well, he writes a letter. He's not at a loss of a son, a daughter, a husband, a brother, a sister.
Yeah. No, you're right.
He doesn't get it.
Yeah, you're right.
He doesn't get it, you know. And so, like I said, that's a fine line. That is a fine line that absolutely bothers me. You know, I give kudos 150% on the men and women in the military. You know, I have two cousins that are in and have been. Well, my one cousin has been in many, 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 many years. You know, and his job is dangerous, to say the least, and beyond. They have come back at him. He's lost a life because of his job. They found him, and they got him while he was on R&R.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost a wife. But you know what? He dusted himself off. He's still doing it, and he's proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like,
you know,
I just got an email. You know, I was thinking about this today because I stopped there on gas before I got on the freeway. But, life, well, it's like, I would call this biker tip number 9. Sometimes it takes a whole tank of gas before you can think straight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And,
But that's it, you know, and sometimes we need that.
Yeah.
Sometimes people need that. You know, that's where I look at is breathe. People don't get it. You know, they can be talking to me or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's breathe. You're here. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in a safe place. Just breathe.
Yeah.
But what is safe anymore?
Oh, yeah.
The only way we're safe is if we tear our homes down, have them rebuilt, and what? Something to where they can't access through to verbally hear us, watch us.
Yeah.
You know, what we call here, like a bomb shelter, a tornado shelter or something, you know. Something where they can't hear us.
Yeah.
And how sad is that world? Kind of sounds like we're in Germany. Post-Germany.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're being oppressed. But, now, on a different note,
Go for it.
Okay, on a different note, in regards to the bill and the California law and the marijuana.
Are you going to speak about that subject that's near and dear to my heart?
No, it's not against you. So
okay.
I'm letting you know right now. Now, this is how I feel about it personally, okay? For people that need it and that have to have that requirement of having that card issued to that person, I am behind that 100%, period, okay? But for once, this is where it comes on another fine line issue. How I look at one, there are people out there that have fine-lined it for many, many years through their addiction, and it got to a point where doctors were going to say, hey, okay, we're not filling these scripts anymore because we know you're abusing. So they go see a psychiatrist, do whatever it takes, and they get that card, and they turn around and sell it. That gets me mad. Because that is an addict that needs not to have it. That's taking away from somebody that actually does. That's how I feel. My opinion.
Okay.
I've been around addicts my whole entire life. I've seen it all. You know, and I think that's what always made sense in my life, not being one.
Right.
I've seen the madness. And I've seen the depths of how people's mentality is when it comes to the need. They can't get from this one, pow, they go here, or they go there, or they get it here, they get it there. You know, so in my opinion, that's how I feel about legalizing marijuana. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I understand for the medical need, but I look at the addicts that abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And people I don't know personally, but know what they do with that, that gets me pissed.
Okay. Well, you know, they've got this thing right now. Somebody gave this to me the other day, and I just thought of it. But it's legalized pot to make our roads safer. It seems that there's an 8.7% drop in traffic fatalities in states with medical marijuana laws. Want to make the roads safer? Encourage drivers to hit the bong rather than hit the bars.
Oh, yeah.
This policy of prescription is that a few people would recommend, but it is effectively the course of states that have enacted medical marijuana laws that followed, according to the study by the Montana State University, University of Colorado, and the University of Oregon. The passage of the medical marijuana law tends to increase the number of adults reporting marijuana use, though there are exceptions. So sifting through all the data, they came up with statistics, and everything came out turning from it's from 1990 to 2009. 13 states passed it, and they saw their traffic fatalities fall by 8.7%. And then it was driven by a 12% decrease in the fatalities and crashes where one of the drivers had been drinking. So there, of course, could be other reasons. An increase in marijuana use might lower traffic fatalities. For instance, more people might be too busy eating Doritos and watching Point Break to get in the car, although they're totally planning on driving to the store soon. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, I can't say I understand that because I haven't done it and driven, okay? So I would take your word on that, you know, in that regards. But I can't
after all this time,
say,
you can after what? All this time doubt me?
I what?
I said, you mean after all this time you would doubt me?
No.
Oh, okay.
I said, I am taking your word on it. I said, I've never done it. You know,
oh.
I've never driven, period. Sorry, I had to just slam that in there. But, you know, what I can say is I have never seen anywhere on a news report, in a newspaper, anything stating that there was a horrific fatal accident due to smoking pot.
Yeah, because, like, the other day they just came out, the court bars cities from using nuisance laws to ban the dispensaries, and that's just for the people that need it. And most of the people that go there have a legitimate reason to go there. It's the guys who go there and get it and then sell it to make money off it. Because
right.
it is a little better than anything else you can get. But the appellate court in California ruled that cities can't use the nuisance ordinances to ban the medical marijuana dispensaries, further adding to the confusion about how municipalities should regulate clinics under the state law. So basically,
right.
They closed down the last two in Oceanside a couple months ago. But now there's a couple of guys doing home deliveries, and if you need that number, you can send me an email, and I'll make sure you get the number. But the
right.
Court of Appeal on last Wednesday, struck down a 2010 preliminary injunction by a trial judge that would have shut down this place in Orange County, in the city of Lake Forest, but a stay was granted. But this evergreen was shuttered in October as part of a statewide crackdown by federal authorities. So in the ruling, the three court judges said that nonprofit collectives can only dispense marijuana from where it's cultivated, and the drug can't be brought from somewhere else and dispensed at a store. So
right.
This is the latest ruling in a string of cases that attempted to interpret the state's medical law and provide guidance for cities and counties. But basically, a Los Angeles-based appellate court last year struck down Long Beach's attempt to license pot stores, ruling the local ordinance conflicted with the federal law. So another appellate court upheld Riverside's right to prohibit dispensaries despite the state's medical marijuana law. So the ruling comes amid stronger enforcement by the feds
to harness the pot clinics in California. So, yeah. Basically, it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah. So, like I said, and where does it actually, you know, Susie brings in a good point. You know, prescription drugs are legal. Doesn't make it right. Medical cannabis supporter, for sure. She agrees with me. People selling their cards do hurt the honest people just looking for help, you know, with the genuine health issues. So, you know, like I said, this is stuff we already know. But
yeah.
The unfortunate thing is it takes place. So how do you turn somebody in? You know how to turn somebody in that you know is doing that in regards to disability fraud, Medicare fraud, what we call it here, public aid or, you know, state assistance, you know, for medical, dental, you know, food card, you know. There's options for that. Okay, now since you have that, is there a number or a place where you could privately state this person is, you know, doing this? Yes.
In other words, you want a rat number?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying you. I just meant anybody in general. If somebody had an issue because they knew this for a fact, they only gained that card to sell, okay, for the money, and not for a medical reason. If somebody were to make a call, do they have that information available?
Well,
that's
you know,
all I was
US,
asking because I don't know.
Yeah.
You
well,
know
there's
what
a
I mean?
Tide of, there's a tide of dismissals that are going to be a long way to medical marijuana cases. But the U.S. government can shut down California medical marijuana dispensaries operating legally under the state law. A federal judge ruled that dismissing the first of many lawsuits filed in the wake of the statewide crackdown. The precedent shows that the government does not overstep its authority under the Commerce Clause when it is going after business to sell medical marijuana. Judge Burrell said, even in the ways that legal under state law. So there's an El Camino Wellness Center which is operating in Sacramento. It's a nonprofit collective. They sued Eric Holder in November last year after a recent crackdown on the dispensary, including those abiding by law. The suit claims that four U.S. attorneys for California have threatened to use all means necessary to shut down the supply chain of medical cannabis for patients.
Right.
So basically, the government, they countered that we're simply incorrect in asserting that the department has ever issued a promise or guarantee in any prior judicial proceeding that the Controlled Substances Act would never be enforced against medical marijuana distributors or their landlords simply because they claim to comply with the state law. So it's just turned, they're just murking the water, making the waters murky, darker rather.
Right. Like I said, the addiction side that I see that people are doing wrong, that pisses me off. And it just makes me so angry because I've been around addicts my whole entire life. So on the medical side of it, I understand. I'm with you on that, you know. But again, here's two sides of a story, you know, or two sides of the card, so to say. You know, and like I said, I'm not a rat, nothing like that. But,
yeah.
You know, what if there's somebody else out there that sees it and they're like, you know, hey, this isn't right.
Yeah, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
For everybody that's saying goodnight and everything, we're still on, and I can go on for as long as you want, but they cut you guys off. So if you want to call in, you can listen to the rest of the conversation or just tune in again Thursday, and we'll pick up where we left off. But if everybody has to go, then I say thank you for being here and sharing with us tonight. And tell your friends. And if you want to listen to this in the archives, it's you go to the same thing and just click on the little blue box on the blog, and it'll play the last show for you as you read about the articles on the Bikers of America blog. So What I'm going to do, Nora, is I don't want to cut you off, but I'm going to have to because everybody...
No, no, that's understandable. I didn't even realize what time we were at, so I apologize.
Neither did I until I started seeing everybody.
We actually did a show that was normal. Kudos to us. Sorry.
I'm going to say goodnight, all. And,
good night.
I'm going to start with a little Axel Rudy Pell. This is Forever Angels. So I'll talk to you tomorrow, Nora.
Okay. Talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.